It's really great to see all the flags up in the sanctuary of different nations where there's missionaries doing their work, spreading good news that Jesus is Lord. Frank and Danette, thank you for hanging them up for us. And just a reminder at the end of the month of that very good event. The passage that we heard, good news from the Bible, first time I heard that was when I was 20 years old. And I was at a conference for college students, about 5,000 people there. And when that passage was read, it happened to be at a communion service, the last service of a bunch of days meeting together. And when that passage was read, I remember being very emotional about what the passage said and feeling, from the truth of the passage, very, very close to the people around me and very close to the Lord. And if you look at the passage, Paul's pretty much saying that. Be very united. Be in service to each other. Be very humble. Because the attitude of that was from Christ. He was like that. Then it exalts Jesus very much. So there's closeness and togetherness coming from the greatness of Christ. And we could look at that for our own soul together. You know, the passage honors the Lord so much it actually became a hymn in the first century. The Christians apparently would sing this to the Lord. And, of course, words are sung today. He is Lord, risen from the dead, every knee shall bow, and so on. But if you look at chapter 2 and moving into chapter 3, the goodness of Christ given to every believer. And we'll see in chapter 3 this good news. At the cross, all our sins are punished. Now that's an amazing sacrifice. Everything Jesus did, He did as a substitute for you and for me. At the cross, all our sins are punished. We could have freedom from the judgment of God, the freedom from condemnation that was rightfully supposed to be on us. And also, because of what Jesus did, all Jesus' goodness is given to you at conversion. Okay, so that's a trade that the Lord wants to do. He said, I'll take your sin in my body on the cross, and I'll give to you all my goodness. There's nothing you could do to add to that goodness in terms of your standing before God. And so, what a gift the Lord gives in terms of His work or His good news. You won't find anything like this in any world religion. Buddhism doesn't concentrate on this. It says, come on, try harder and don't be so passionate and so forth. And Islam says, do more good works and pray more sincerely and five other things, which I can't remember, or the five or seven of them, I don't know. But here, God comes to rescue fallen people. And so if you feel, oh, I need rescued, you know, that's from God. And He'll come and be your great Savior. And so this is the only good news that saves from all eternity past. It's the only good news that'll save you today, the Lord. And it'll be the only good news that'll make you right before God at the judgment day. What the Lord did. It's not of you. It's not of me. It's not of man. Since no one can boast. But been saved by the grace of God. What He would do for us. It's good news beyond compare. Peter would put it this way. I like this. For Christ died once. Christ died for sins once for all. The good, that's the Lord, for the bad, that's us, to bring you to God. Okay, He does that great work. That fuels our obedience to the Lord. And Paul wants to see that worked out right where the people live, helping each other and eventually helping everybody who they would cross paths with. The implications of the good news, God being totally for you, is the foundation of your loving obedience. So when you hear Jesus died for you and you put your trust in Him, then loving obedience is something we want to do. The Christian faith is not
the following. Loving obedience is not the foundation of God being for you. Okay? It becomes the result of that. And you don't want to put that at the beginning, because that's a cart that can't pull the horse. But Jesus can help you lovingly obey God. So you wonder how to do that. You look to Him. Put your trust in Him. Okay. And take all the energy that you have and all the focus that you have and say, Christ is Lord. And He's the King of my heart. And I trust and follow Him and His great work on our behalf. And so you and I are most thankful and excited when Jesus is most exalted. This is what Paul does here at the second part of the chapter, or the passage. And you could ask yourself a good diagnostic question. What or who did you get excited about this past week? You could ask your neighbor, you could ask somebody in your family, to ask your own soul. What or who did you get very, very passionate about this week? Okay. Was it something to do with you? The big eye in the middle of your life, unfortunately. Okay. Was it something shallow, like the guy driving too slow in front of you or too fast behind you? Was it something relatively unimportant, like the ball scores, you know? What or who got you most excited this week? Was it a chance to sleep in, perhaps on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and so on? Was it your career that you got most excited about this week? Okay, or even your loved ones, maybe some social issue. If you'd examine your heart and you would think of Jesus, you would say, it was the Lord who really I am most excited about. You want to search that out and let Him be Lord of your thinking, which does attach to Lord of your emotions. And so you ask yourself that question and let the Lord be the one who inspires you to follow Him. And the one lesson from this passage is whatever you are most emotionally attached to. And some would be, who likes me on the Facebook and that I get some things and so on. Whatever you are most emotionally attached to, that's probably your idol that you need to put under the Lordship of Christ. Because He's so much better and so much greater. And so you could repent of that. That even might be your own Christian practice, your own knowledge of things. Well, that won't match up to the Lord. If you look at the passage, the Lord doesn't care how intelligent you are. The Lord doesn't care how much fervor that you bring before Him. But the Lord does really care if you honor Him in your heart as Lord and you draw close to His people. He really does care about that. And so that's part of the big push here in Philippians chapter 2. Paul starts off by saying, hey, be close to each other, being united with Christ. Help that be a catalyst to being close to others. Closer you are to Jesus, closer you'll be to others. I discovered that in my family life. If I would put my trust in God and pray and, just be thankful to Him throughout the day, I'm a lot better husband and a better father than if I just say, well, I'm going to do my own effort, or I'm going to be in charge of my own life, Or I'm going to hope my family finally is convinced of my fantastic, qualities or something. I mean, they're there for me, right? No. That the closer we get to Christ, the more effective we'll be to others. Just widen that a little bit. The closer you get to Christ, the more effective you'll be to the people around you. Okay, in one little local church. You're for the Lord, and you're for one another. Just widen that a little bit more. The closer you are to Christ, the more thoughtful and a blessing you'll send to Christians of all around you. You see, to the ends of the earth. And so it's a wonderful blessing that God gives in the passage. And we treat each other well because God is at work in us and He's treated us so well. So looking at the chapter 2, the Lord talks about encouragement from being united with Christ. One good way to read the passage, what God does for us, we want to pass on to others. So the passage could read like this. Since you have encouragement from being united with Christ, you have that. Since you have comfort from His love, God has comforted you in some manner. Since you have fellowship with the Spirit, God's Spirit is in your life. And since you have tenderness and compassion, be like-minded in that way. Be of one purpose. Be one in spirit. And all that is from the attitude of Jesus. And so it's quite Paul's saying, you know, help each other out a lot because Christ has given Himself for you. So it's a motivational passage. At the same time, it's a worship passage. And Jesus calls us in verse 3 and 4 to 100% unselfish living. That's pretty rough. Being that the self is probably, for most of us, one of the biggest idols we have. So he's exhorting to 100% unselfish living. Okay? One commentator said, since we are in unity with Christ, we're called to unity with each other, humility, and service. Okay. One in Christ equals one in the Spirit with each other. As the old song said, for we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. So the Philippians, they're getting that oneness so important. Other passages point to the same emphasis. Romans 12:10, honor one another above yourselves. So you think of the people in your life, you know, how can I honor spouse, children, brother and sister in Christ, neighbor, above yourselves? That's totally countercultural, counter old sin nature, and counter devil. How do you honor others? That's what you're all about. Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. So you're into the serving thing. How can I be helpful to others? Galatians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a good one. So I defer. The Christian life is a life of deference to the Lord first, and then for the Lord's sake to others. And that's something we have to ask the Lord to build into our lives. Again, the promotion of Christ will equal people seeing there goes those Christians. They are united in the Lord. They are humble, and they're all about serving. Okay, those are qualities God wants to build into us. And He does it through His Son. It's the same attitude Jesus had. And then one more passage about looking out for the interest of others. 1 Peter 5:5, I've grown to like this one just in the past few years. Here it is. The younger, be submissive to the older. Okay, since I've gotten older, I'm like, I like this passage. I never liked this passage when I was younger, you know. But how true the God's Word is. Younger. How many consider yourself younger? Raise your hand. There you go. Come on. Younger. No. But younger, be submissive to everybody else who didn't raise their hand. Let's see. Like for me, it's... I definitely have to defer to Jim and Harold, you know, right off the bat. They're up just slightly older. The rest of these guys, I can just run over, you know. They're supposed to be like deferring to me. Oh, there goes that very wise, you know, 60-something or other there, right? Well, that's God's Word. And we clothe ourselves with humility to one another. Again, totally countercultural. Okay, totally kind or devil. Hey, be that way for the dear folks around you. You might say, thank the Lord, we have a lot of people we have to defer to. Right? There you go. But so Paul says that, look out for one another. Verse 3, consider others better than yourselves. Okay, how many are good at that? One Christian was talking to his pastor. He said, that's really hard to do for me to consider my brother better than me. especially when he thinks he's so much better than me already. And the pastor said, what's wrong with that? You're both on the same page. He thinks he's better than you, and you're to think he's better than you. That's a little humor there, but that's the way the Lord can get to his soul, you know. Defer. Consider them better than you. How many Christians do you know that are better than you? Two or three or four. No, consider everybody better than you. If you know 40 Christians, one benefit is that's pretty good. You've got 40 Christians who are better than you in the faith. You're going to grow, man. You're really going to grow if you live that passage out. If you think you're up here and everybody's down here, guess what? You're going to think, I'm going to drag these people along in following Jesus. Consider others better than yourselves. You're looking out for those brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. If you know 40 people, you say, I'm 41st. Shock yourself and be last. It'll be a biblical thing. You'll experience. Shock yourself and be last. And Paul says, because this attitude was in Jesus. You know, it's not a race to the bottom, just for the sake of being at the bottom. But it's because Jesus was like that. Jesus was like that. Verse 7 and 8. Jesus made himself nothing. He was God. He came down. He made himself nothing. He became a servant, washing the feet, feeding the people, helping the sick. He was on call. Humbled himself, became obedient even to the cross. That's like for the worst criminal in town, the cross. And Jesus said, I'll take that on me. And so, what does God call us to do? Same attitude. Here comes God's people. We make ourselves nothing. Hey, we're nothing. You know, we're just glad to belong to Jesus. We become servants. Wonder what those Christians do who gather in these buildings, you know, all over the place. Well, they're probably learning that God is great, and they're just glad to be in. They're learning how to be servants. They're making themselves humble, and they're obeying God to the death, you know, all the way to heaven. And it's because God is at work in us. So because Jesus had that attitude, he builds that into us. God is at work in us, so we could pray that old prayer, Jesus, be yourself in us today. What a wonderful thing. And then Paul launches into exalting the Lord so well. He says, you know, every knee shall bow. God exalted Jesus to the highest place. By highest, it means no other higher than him. At his name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. What a great thought. And our music, thank the Lord for our music. It often reflects this passage. One man suggested you look at all the songs that start with the name Jesus or have Jesus in the first line. That's a lot of praising to God. Here's some examples that I enjoyed finding. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Billy Graham's favorite was, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Okay, so if you're a sinner, Jesus is moving toward you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You think, okay, what's the message? Genesis through Revelation. Probably something to do with Jesus and his love. Loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Here's some more. Jesus' name above all names. We treat his name special because he's special. Okay, in Jesus' day, there were a lot of people named Jesus around. I don't know if you know that. In some cultures, many people still name Jesus. Spanish culture, Jesus, and so forth. But the name Jesus, because he's special, becomes special to us. Name above all names. Some crotchety old Presbyterian pastor said, how do I get all these people together to have a Christian and missionary alliance, you know, where Christians would get together and be allied for missions. And he said, I know. Jesus only is our message. He's the only one that can get us all on the same page. Okay, so that's a great song. Jesus, keep me near the cross, because at the cross of Christ there's love, there's humility, there's serving, there's even learning about the wrath and justice of God, God's holiness. Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus is exalted like that. How about some other ones? Jesus calls us over the tumult of our life's restless sea. I like this one. Jesus, your blood and righteousness is my beauty. Again, all goodness comes from God. Any goodness thinks that you and I think comes from us is a big lie, big self-deception. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Come thou long expected Jesus. Good song, either for first or second coming. And I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. Here's some final ones. All hail the power of Jesus' name. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there's none like you. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How strong the Lord. Isn't it something that there's something about a sinner who responds to Jesus. Like, oh, there's hope for me in this God born in Bethlehem. I lay my sins on Jesus. More about Jesus, what I know. And you can't say enough good things about the Lord or sing enough good things about Him. And our biggest passion then is when He's exalted. God can give us that perspective. And if you're like me, you look back on just one week and say, well, I was excited about this and that and the other, and I was down about this and that and the other. And most of that stuff was all centered around myself. That stinks, you know. Kind of a life is that. But you put something about the Lord. I feel at peace. Feel glad. The blood pressure goes down in calmness. Or up in energy, as some of you need there. And so on. Okay. Every knee shall bow. Just in closing application, think of all the knees that will bow. We'll bow gladly. All the kings of the earth will bow. It was in heaven, on earth, under the earth. So all our presidents will bow. We pay deference to them. They're going to pay deference to Jesus. All of them. Washington, Lincoln, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. All deference to Jesus. All these dear flags around here, all the nations of the earth, from America all the way around to Great Britain, all 240 nations, you know, those flags are going to bow to Jesus. Rightfully so. All the nations will come to Him, give Him the praise He deserves. World leaders, Putin, he'll bow to Jesus. When's the last time he bowed to anybody, you know? All these Middle Eastern tyrants, they're going to bow to Jesus. Buddha, Mohammed, and God brings it to our heart. Do we live with an attitude of a bowed knee to the Lord? And Paul says, to one another. The attitude of a bowed knee. The attitude was in Jesus. Comes to His people, back to the Lord, back to our loved ones, which we want to serve. We want to serve. Because you're constantly in God's presence, as you know. Well, He's a wonderful Savior who would come to us and offer Himself. So you put your trust in Him today. Lord, King, Friend, Savior. He's the one for you that would get your heart, soul, mind, will, emotions. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your rescue mission. And you didn't leave any one out to gather to yourself. We mentioned in the first service, even, you know, the demons and the devil himself, they'll bow their knee before they go to the lake of fire. They'll bow their knee to Jesus. so much more powerful you are. So teach us, Lord, to, since we have that united with Christ, the heart united with you, that we live like that. Bless each one here. We thank you for your good word. Very gets us where we live, but it's pretty practical also, for sure, that we start to look at others as better than ourselves, be one in purpose and mind toward the Lord, and look out for other people's interests. This is an exciting mission you send us on, and you lead the way. So give peace in our souls, Lord, with yourself. Might each one have peace with God through faith in you, Jesus. And we pray for difficulties, the folks that need your help. Be with the folks in Texas and Florida, Mexico City and Puerto Rico. Each person important to you, Lord. Might compassion and grace and supplies be there for folk. And as we could participate in prayer or giving, as mentioned in the bulletin, that we could do so. Thank you, Lord, for our mission conference coming up to honor your name. Thank you for our troops serving. Think of Eric Angelari, maybe a little more than halfway through his basic training, rough times, but he's an honorable Christian soldier. Thank you for him. Be with those who fight against cancer. Please give remission, Lord, and trust in you. Remember Dale Matthews, Mike Oriel. Be with those who fight against shingles, the folks who are disabled to gain strength, those who are near death to have your peace. Thank you for Hope and Passion Ministries, that this Saturday, Shelley will give good news from your Bible, and it'll change hearts. It'll draw people close to yourself and then off to serving you. Make Saturday a highlight of folks' walk with yourself. And Lord, hear our silent prayers as we bring to you praise and asking for your help.